You'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, please. Stand in reverence to reading God's word. We're going to read but one verse of Scripture, first verse. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Let us pray. Father, I sure thank you again tonight for your wonderful grace, your kindness, your goodness. Thank you for who you are. You're the true, the living, only God. Besides thee, there is none else. And Father, tonight, in the name of your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this privilege. We thank you for the folks that's here. We ask you, God, to use this simple message to your glory and to your honor. And we trust, Lord, that we will not fail to lift up our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is all in all. And Father, I want to thank you for your kindness to us, your love toward us in sending your Son to die for our sins that we might have eternal life. Once again tonight, this preacher just needs you. I need your power. I need you. And I ask you, Lord, to do that which I cannot do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The last word in this scripture that I read is what I'm going to be preaching on. I'm going to preach on the subject of heaven. You get a little on down the road, you begin to think about that a little more than you used to. But heaven is a wonderful place. My words will not be able to describe it, so I will use a lot of what God says in his word about heaven and about the eternity of it, the everlasting of it, the forever of it. And heaven is just what I have said to you. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That's the book of beginnings, and God created heaven. In the book of Revelation, the book of endings, the Bible also tells us in Revelation 10 that God created the heaven, which he did. In Psalms 89, the Bible calls it the everlasting throne of God. In Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, he says, thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. He said, I'd cast off Israel if anyone could measure out heaven. But you can't do it. No one knows the measure of heaven. It must be great. It must be wonderful. I think so much sometimes about the universe and all of those things. And people talk about the multitudes of light years and hundreds of light years and all these things that you can see out there. And then I say to them, what's after that? What's on the other side of that? It's God and his eternity. No one can measure his heaven. He said if you could, he would cast off Israel. And he will not do that because he's promised not to do that. In Psalms 103rd Psalm, he said that heaven is high above the earth. In Psalms 20, he says he will hear him from his holy heaven. God is there, so heaven is holy. The Bible also tells us in Deuteronomy that heaven is perfect. It's perfect because God made it. And it's perfect because God is there, you see. The Bible tells us in 1 Kings and Matthew 6 that it's his dwelling place, God's dwelling place. The Bible also tells us in Isaiah 66, he says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne. That's the throne of God. And then in Daniel, he says in the 5th chapter of Daniel that God is the Lord of heaven. Tells us in the 4th chapter of Daniel that God reigneth there. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, the 24th verse, that God fills heaven and earth. He told in 2 Chronicles that he answers his people from heaven. We find in Genesis, the 19th chapter, it says he sends judgment from heaven. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, we find out, and also Matthew 28, that Christ is the mediator and is all-powerful in heaven. We find also in Luke, the 10th chapter, the names of saints are written down in heaven. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Your name written down in heaven. It's a marvelous thing. It's a wonderful thing. If we're born again, if we're saved, if we trusted Christ as our Savior, our name is written down in heaven. What a marvelous thing. We find also that in Matthew, the 5th chapter, that saints will be rewarded in heaven. He says, "For great is your reward in heaven." Rewards waiting in heaven. He tells us also in Luke, the 15th chapter, that there's rejoicing in heaven over one that comes to repentance. One soul saved in heaven rejoices. What a marvelous thing. We find also in Matthew, the 6th chapter, that this is where we're supposed to lay our treasures up. Not here. In heaven. In heaven. Lay your treasures up in heaven. Why? Because where your treasures are, that's where your heart is. Did you know that's true? Did you know that's scriptural? Did you know that's what God says? Whatever you love, whatever becomes more important to you, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So he says, lay your treasures up in heaven, and that's where your heart will be. Amen. Amen. Not only that, in heaven, it's called the Father's house. It's called a heavenly country. It's called a place of rest. It's called paradise. You see, in Revelation 22:15, he tells us that the wicked cannot go there. Impossible. Cannot go there. You know, I think about time. I don't know how you feel about things, but I look back when I was just a little boy, just a little fella. I was running around playing cowboys and Indians. Now, they don't do that anymore. It's not politically correct. You're not supposed to kill Indians. But when I was a little boy, it was legal to kill Indians. I've killed multitudes of them. I shot them. Me and my friends, we'd play cowboy and Indians. And usually what I used, we never did a lot of times have guns, we'd use a stick that was bent, that looked like a gun. Yeah, we did. And then about this time of year, those little horse weeds, they get the right size. Any of you got any of those? Them horse reeds get about that size. And you cut them down, use them for spears. Oh, yeah. And then you took an old willow branch tree, a little sapling willow tree, and you'd bend it and tie some string on it and cut some straight sticks and use them for bow and arrows. I said, what'd you use? Good old stuff that was made for bows and arrows? Oh, no, just old white string. My mama saved every piece of string she ever got. See, back in our days, some of you men know this, back in our days, the only thing they tied anything up was not scotch tape, it was string. You'd go to the grocery store, they'd tie the package up with string. You'd go to the department store, they'd tie the package up with white string. Mama saved every bit of that. She had a big old ball of that stuff. And that's what I'd use on my bow and arrow. Just old white string. Amen. It's a little boy. I was thinking about that. You know, that was just yesterday. I mean, it really does. It seems like yesterday. It just seems like it's went so fast. So time has just flew by. I don't know how you think about those things, but Charles, does it feel like just yesterday when you was a little boy, sitting out there and that preacher came by and led you to Christ? Wasn't no time at all, was it? Just young, growing up. working, got up about 11 years old, and this is God's truth, I started working for a farmer when I was 11 years old. Yeah, I didn't work all summer, but I worked off and on. And then when I was 12, he hired me full time in the summertime. And I worked for the farmer, you know. Again, I want to tell you something, that was just yesterday. Just don't seem like no time at all. When that was, and I think about it sometimes, and it seems like everything's been changing. They just change all the time. See, Mom and Dad, they took care of us. Mom and Dad, tonight I want to say thank you for caring for me. I want to thank you for just providing for me, feeding me and clothing me. Well, even though the clothes was a lot of times tattered and torn and with holes in them, it didn't matter. I just want to thank you, Dad. Thank you, Mom, for taking care of me. Man's not thankful for his mom and dad's not worthy to be alive. Mom and Dad was not everything they should have been, but they took care of me. They grew me up, didn't they? Some young folk want to look down on their moms and dads. Shame on you. You ought to be whipped. Yeah, you ought to be. You ought to be whipped. Shame on you. See, your mom and dad grew you up. Mine did. I didn't mind. Then I got a little older and got married. And it was this young girl that was in our part of the country. And she had a ponytail. And she grabbed my heart and grabbed my eyes and grabbed my heart. And we got married. 4 children. 12 grandchildren, 5 great-grandchildren. Now, 2 of them hasn't made their appearance yet, but I still have 5 great-grandchildren. And let me tell you something. Time passes. It just flies by. It just seems like yesterday when all of this took place. See, Mom and Dad are gone. There was 11 of us in our family, counting Mom and Dad, and there's only 4 of us left. Boy, does things change. I mean, time changes, and nothing remains the same. Now I'm up, got a few years on me, and the only thing that hadn't changed is when I was a little boy, I wore bibs, and I'm still wearing them. You go by my place down there, you'll probably see me in a pair of bibs. Still wearing them. But that's about the only thing that hasn't changed. Children now, our children have their families. Grandchildren, they growed up. 2 grandchildren left in high school. Sarah and Jonathan next year will graduate. Can you imagine that? Boy, it just flew by. I mean, just flew by, you see. See, my wife and I, more than likely, this is the way it usually happens, one of us will go first. We both have volunteered to be that. In fact, if we ever argued in our life, that's what we argue about. I say, no, honey, I'm going first. She'll say, no, you're not. I said, I am. I said, you be submissive now, young lady. You just straighten yourself up. I want to go first. That's selfish, but I'd really like to slip out of here first. I don't know what I'd do without her. No, I'm serious. You can laugh about that if you want to. I don't know what I'd do without her. It's not easy, is it, Sister Clay? Now, these widows, it's not easy. I'm going to tell you, I know it isn't. I've not been there yet, but I know it's not easy. But anyway... Donna's family, about all gone. Linda, he had his 1 sister, and she's gone. She died when she was 50. She misses her terrible. Her mother and dad's gone. She don't have much family except her family here. And many of our church members are gone. Members that we started this church with, they've already went on over to the other side. Many of them. And I think about it, and I think, boy, things have changed. time does not stand still. Amen? And I wonder sometimes, and I ask myself, is there some place where we can go and things won't change? Things will be the same forever. And I think I find in the Word of God where God says in Malachi, the 3rd chapter, the 6th verse, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. Amen. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes, and he never will. Things down here change, but Jesus never will. Is there somebody somewhere that won't leave me? Because it seems like everybody is passing off the scene and gone. And is there somebody? I hear a resounding call from heaven, from Jesus, who says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I want to tell you something. Heaven is a wonderful, wonderful place. I want to tell you a few things that the Bible says about heaven, about everlasting. The Bible says that heaven is an everlasting place. Everlasting. Now think about that. It's everlasting and never ceases and never stops, because God never stops. God always has been. God always will be. The word everlasting is used in the Bible many, many times. And I'm going to tell you some of those things. I'm just going to give you what he says is everlasting. He says his covenant is everlasting. He says his possessions is everlasting. The arms of God are everlasting. He said, thou art God from everlasting to everlasting. He also tells us that his mercy is everlasting. Thank you, Father. Everlasting mercy. He also says that his righteousness is everlasting. His righteousness is everlasting. His kingdom is everlasting kingdom. He said he's the everlasting Father. Whew. Said he has everlasting strength. He says he has everlasting joy. All the sorrows that we have on this old earth, troubles and sorrows, but in heaven it's everlasting joy. Amen. He says our salvation is everlasting. He said his kindness is everlasting. One of the first things I thank God for in my prayers, whether it be morning, night, or whenever they be, is thanking him for his kindness. As I look and I realize that God is constantly kind to me and good to me. He says also his name is everlasting. The light he sheds is everlasting light. He says he's not only has an everlasting kingdom, but he's the everlasting king. He said also his love is everlasting. And he said his dominion is everlasting. And in 14 times he says that he gives us life everlasting. You never have to worry about it. You're God's child. You don't have to worry about it. You have life, and it's an everlasting life. And always will be. It's a promise of God. He also tells us that he has everlasting habitations. And he's the everlasting God. And he's a God whose honor and power is everlasting. And also, he has an everlasting gospel. Everlasting. He has another word that we use, and it's the word evermore. Donna's, of course, had these eye surgeries and cataract surgeries, and we've been made quite a few trips to Terre Haute for those, the doctor's visits, and One of the last times we was over there, we went into Cracker Barrel. Does anybody know where Cracker Barrel is? I mean, no, thank you. I thought maybe you did. We went into Cracker Barrel and got us something to eat. So as I was walking out, as I usually try to do, I went up and paid. I always try to pay. They won't let you out of there if you don't. But anyway, I try to pay. And so I paid this lady, you know, and I said, "Ma'am, could I give you a gospel track?" She said, she took it, and she said, "Thank you." And she said, "Oh, by the way, I know where I'm going." And I said, "Do you really?" She said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Tell me." She said, "I'm going to heaven when I die." I said, "Why are you going to heaven?" She said, "Because of Jesus Christ." And I said, "Isn't that a wonderful thing?" And she said, "Yes, it is." And here she was. She was probably in her early 20s. And here's what she said. She said, "You know what? I'm looking forward to it." And I said, "Ma'am, I'm a little older than you, but I sure am looking forward to it too." And she said, "You know, I think it'll happen in my lifetime." And I said, "I hope it happens in my lifetime." And she said, "You know, you never know." She said, "It might." And I said, "Yes, it might." And I suppose we spoke maybe for a minute. But I came away from there just rejoicing. There was a young lady that knew Jesus, was thanking the Lord for Jesus, was grateful that she was a Christian and looking forward to heaven. And it really encouraged my heart. I came away from there encouraged and glad and rejoicing. And I'm just saying to you, it's forever. There's a word called evermore. The Bible says that his throne shall be evermore. The word of God says that at his hand pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. He says his promises will not fail forevermore. He says he set upon thy throne. He sets upon his throne forevermore. He says that he gives us life forevermore. And he says, we rejoice forevermore. Just imagine that, rejoicing forever. I mean forever. He also says that Jesus said, "I am alive evermore." Whew. There's another word that he uses. It just says, forever. Forever. He says, "To him be glory," which means God, "forever." Folk have trouble glorifying God here. I want to tell you, they're going to be in trouble in heaven. Because glory goes to him forever. Always. And it says also, through Jesus Christ, forevermore. Forever. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Ever. Always. And he also says, who liveth and abideth forever. The word of the Lord endureth forever. The word of God will never pass. Don't make any difference what these foolish people say about the word of God. They can say whatever they wish to say about the word of God. It does not change the word of God. This is the word of God. It is the word of God. It's the King James Word of God. It is his word, preserved word of God. Don't make a difference what foolish people say. Don't make a big difference. It's unimportant. This is God's word. If I didn't have God's word, what would I preach? Oh, would I have to search through and make sure that every verse was certainly from the Lord? If it wasn't, what would I do with it? Throw it out? Would I throw out John 3:16 maybe? No, I think I'll just keep it all. Because it's the word of God. Amen. See, the Bible says that it will abide forever. Amen. It'll endure forever. Whosoever doeth the will of the Lord abideth forever. What a wonderful word. Worship him that liveth forever and forever. It says he will be your God forever and ever. And then he says, they shall reign forever and ever. That's no ending. That's forever and ever. It's what God means. Amen. So I look and I say to myself, God, can I really go there? Can I go to a place where it'll never end? It'll always be. It'll always be perfect. And I get a resounding word from God that says, yes, son, you can. With the assurance in my heart, because of the word of God, I know there's a place called heaven. And it's a perfect place. Because Jesus is there. He's perfect. My heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit is there. The one, the true, the living God. And it's forever. Lord, been a lot of times throughout my life that there's been tears run off of these cheeks. Most of the time in private. I'm not a public person. But there's been a lot of times when I've sat and tears has dropped off my cheek over things that's happened, problems that's come about, other things. And I say to God, God, am I going to have tears in heaven? And he calls out, there'll be no tears there. And I said, Lord, as a pastor for many, many years, and I did for some reason, he allowed it. I sat in many hospital rooms or nursing homes and sat beside people who took their last breath in death. I've been to multitudes and multitudes of funerals. And I've preached my share of them. And I say to the Lord, Lord, is there some place where death is abolished? And I get a resounding call from heaven that says, there'll be no death in heaven. There'll be no funeral parlors in heaven. You heard about that time I said to the funeral director one day, he said, you won't be needed in heaven. He took that wrong and he said, Brother Ross, you saying I can't? No, I didn't say you couldn't go. You just won't need. You're going to have to change your jobs up there. But there won't be no funeral parlors in heaven because the Bible says there's no death there. And then I think about it because, God, you said that we're few of days and full of trouble, and I've found that to be true. Them days has just went by. In August, I'll be 70 years old. Where did the years go? Where did they fly? Few days and full of trouble. Father, will there be trouble in heaven? And he shouts down, there'll be no sorrow there. It's a promise of God. And Father, not only did tears drop from my eyes, but there's been times when I sat and bawled like a baby. Cried like a baby. And he reaches down and says, Son, there'll be no crying in heaven. And then I think about the times when people, even in our church, is going through where their bodies is raked with pain. Yeah, they are. I was talking to a man today, Carlos Watson. Many of you know Carlos. He's telling me the story of 5 years. 5 years went by with terrible, horrible pain in his back. I mean, he went through everything. He told me the whole story. He said it was horrible. He said, I got to the place I could not stand the pain. I couldn't lay down. I couldn't set up. I couldn't do anything. I could not stand the pain. He said, Brother Ross, said, don't kid yourself. There's a time when you say, I want it over. I can't stand it anymore. And after 5 years, I won't tell you the whole story. But anyway, God reached down and helped him. And he still suffers some pain, but it's nothing like it was. I think of Carlos and all of that pain, and I think some of the people in this room, or maybe not able to be in this room tonight, that has suffered pain. And I mean, it's not easy. It's not funny. Someone who lives with pain, it's very difficult. When you live with that all the time, believe me, it affects you. But oh, there's a wonderful place called heaven where God says there'll be no pain. And there'll be no chemotherapy. Won't be no need for it. No pain, God says, in my heaven. Well, I think that's pretty wonderful. So what does God say? He says, and he that sat upon the throne said, the former things are passed away. I make all things new. I'm not sure how you feel about it, but I know this, as I said, as years pass, I look back and I can't even believe sometimes that I am where I am. It has just flew. Young people, enjoy as you live your life. Enjoy each day of it. Thank God for each day of it. And enjoy it. Because you'll be soon what I am. You say, Brother Ross, no, that'll be forever. You think so. But it'll pass fast. But I just want to tell you something. There's a wonderful place called heaven that God wants you to go to. And the way you go to it is you have to realize and understand you're a sinner. You are, in the eyes of God, a sinner. I am too. That's what God says about us. We've sinned and come short of God's glory. Amen? Every one of us. But there's a wonderful promise of God Almighty, because he sent his wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son. That's who he is. Sent him to this old sin-infested earth to live the perfect life and to go to an old rugged cross and die on that cross for your sin and mine. Gladly, willingly doing that, the only way salvation could have been provided is if God provided it. Amen. And well, he did. Amen. And you, like I, must come to that place and realize we're just them old sinners that need saved, and there's a wonderful God in heaven who loved us and sent Jesus to die for us. And if we're willing to believe upon him and trust him, believe upon him, he's willing to give us eternal life. Amen. That eternal life's forever. It's eternal. See, it's not just for a week or 2 weeks. When you truly get saved, you don't lose your salvation. It's an impossibility. That's a blasphemous statement that people would say you could lose your salvation. That's blasphemous. That's blasphemous against God. God is not going to lose anybody he saves. Because it's not you that got done the saving anyway, it was him. What he does is eternal, is forever. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for that. Now I say to you, I can go to heaven, to a place that never changes. And no one ever leaves. You're not going to get away from me, honey. We may not be husband and wife, but I'm still going to be around there somewhere. Forever, we'll spend eternity together because of Jesus. Amen. I just want you to know there's a wonderful place called heaven. He loves you. He wants you to go there. If you're not ready, he wants you to get ready. And secondly, he wants you to look forward to it. Boy, when the times get tough, remember heaven. Remember what I've told you before. Always keep an eye over there on the other side. No matter how tough things get here, keep an eye over there on the other side. You can rejoice forevermore. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your wonderful, wonderful grace. Thank you for a place called heaven. Thank you so much, Lord, of the multitudes of things you've said in your word about that wonderful place and how everlasting it is. And Lord, it's forever and ever. Thank you for the eternity of heaven. Thank you for the eternity of God. Should there be anyone here, Lord, that is not saved, I trust that you will deal in their hearts today. And Lord, that they'll be willing to just put their faith and trust in the wonderful, precious Son of God who loved them and died for them. Thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.